Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word which we receive this morning is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Our text this morning begins by telling us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Why was God's word rare? Why was it missing among the people? Was it because God had forgotten or abandoned his people or gone on vacation? Of course not. It wasn't the Lord's failing. The problem was the failing of the Lord's called servants. The problem was the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who lived a sinful lifestyle, and because of it led the people of Israel to despise God's word and to forsake his tabernacle. The problem was Eli himself, who although he himself was a good priest, nevertheless failed in his duty as father and as high priest to correct the sinful life of his sons. And the result was that the people no longer came to God's tabernacle and no longer heard the word of the Lord. God had a solution to this. As we see in our text, he removed the unfaithful servants, Eli and his sons, and he raised up in their place one who would be faithful in teaching his word, Samuel. At the beginning of our text, we hear that the word of the Lord was rare. But at the end of that very same chapter, we read, "And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through the word of the Lord." What a joyful and wonderful thing to read at the end of this chapter. How the Lord reestablished through his faithful servant Samuel the teaching of his word. And thus our text reveals to us this morning examples of both the joy that comes to God's people when his servants, when his called servants are faithful in their duties. And it also shows us an example of the sorry state of affairs that results when his workers are not faithful. Our epistle reading reminds us that Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men. The Apostle Paul explains what those gifts are that Jesus gave to his church. That namely, it is those whom he has called, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, whom he has sent to proclaim and to teach his word. And although Paul does not specifically mention teachers in the text, nevertheless, it is clear that they are a part of what he's talking about because he's including all who whose job it is to preach and to teach God's word. Samuel certainly was such a gift. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, not so much. And so the question before us this morning, the question that we have to consider, is how we can be faithful as called workers. Certainly those of us who all are called workers, like myself and the teachers here at Faith Lutheran Church. For the rest of us, certainly we can also consider how this applies to our own life, even if we're not called workers. So we see that God calls us to a life of faithfulness, and he shows us what faithfulness is through his servant Samuel. To begin with, faithfulness means dedication. Dedication not only in your work, but in your whole life. The failure in Hophni and Phinehas was not that they failed to do their job. There's no reason from Scripture to believe that they were not doing their job as priests. In fact, we know that they were in the temple, or the tabernacle, and that they were offering the sacrifices as they were supposed to. The failure of Hophni and Phinehas was in their lifestyle, their open, blatantly sinful lifestyle, which caused people to despise God's word and to stop coming to the tabernacle to hear God's word. Faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness as a called servant means a life of dedication. It means not just doing your job, but living as a faithful servant of the Lord. To receive a call from the Lord means not that you're on the job just from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., but it means that you serve the Lord with your whole life. Jesus told a young man in Luke chapter 9, verse 60, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." In other words, God is saying, dedicate your life to my service. And Paul reminds the young Timothy that those who are called to the ministry must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. And he goes on to describe many other things, but the underlying message is clear. Faithfulness, dedication in your whole life. Those who are called to serve the Lord are asked not just to do a job, but they are asked to serve the Lord and his people. And that means a life of dedication to him. Faithfulness requires dedication in your whole life. Faithfulness also, as Samuel learned, begins by learning how to listen. Learning how to listen to God, to recognize his voice and listen to his word. In our text, God calls out to Samuel and he says to him, "Here I am. Come and listen to what I have to say." Samuel keeps leaving. God keeps calling out to Samuel, "Samuel," and Samuel keeps leaving. He has to be taught by Eli to recognize the voice of God and then to sit still and listen. And then finally, you heard how in the end of our text, he learns to do this. This is the beginning of his ministry, isn't it? This is the first thing that Samuel has to learn, to stop and listen to God's word. As called workers, it's important to begin by listening to what God has to say to us. You could be a teacher without God's word. You could even be a good teacher without God's word. But you can't be a Christian day school teacher without God's word. You cannot serve the Lord as one of his ministers without listening to the Lord. And you can't be a shepherd for God's little lambs without first listening to God. Sometimes in our lives, we have more than we can do in a day. Sometimes, especially as called workers, there's a lot on our plates. And that's true for all of us, that there's often times when we feel overwhelmed with the amount of things we have to do. We often have to make choices. We often have to choose priorities. I'm going to get this thing done, and that means that I'm going to leave this other thing undone. But the one thing that can never be left undone, the one thing that can never be deprioritized, is spending time in devotion and prayer. Spending time listening to God's word. Spending time like Mary, sitting and hearing what God has to say and making that our first priority. Nathan, you may remember, who was a prophet during the reign of King David, Nathan was also a good prophet, a good servant of the word of the Lord. But Nathan did make that mistake at least once of thinking he already knew what the Lord was going to say, of failing to listen first to God's word. He made that mistake when David came and said, well, should I build a house to the Lord? And Nathan thought, oh yeah, that's a great thing to do. He said, go ahead. Well, then God had to come to him that evening and rebuke him a little bit there. No, it's not what I want David to do. It's easy to assume that we know what we're doing, especially after you've been teaching or a pastor for a long time. It's easy to assume that we already know these stories and we know God's word well enough. But we always have to start. We always have to begin by listening to God. Carpenters have that saying, measure twice and cut once, right? In the ministry, the saying might be, listen twice and speak once. Listen first to God and then prioritize his word, and then God will direct your steps. Faithfulness begins by listening to God's word. Faithfulness as a called worker also requires you to speak the word of God, the whole word of God. One of the things that we see in the account of Samuel, when God calls him, Samuel in our text this morning, is just a young boy. And yet even though he's just a young boy, God tells Samuel, go and tell Eli. Eli, the high priest. Eli, the one that, you know, your teacher, the one who is above you in authority. Go and tell him that God has said that he's going to die because of his unfaithfulness. He and his sons are going to die. Imagine just being a young boy and having to go and tell the priest, well, God says your punishment is that you're going to die. That would have been a hard thing for Samuel to have to do. And yet he did as the Lord directed. He needed a little prompting from Eli, but he did do as the Lord directed. Being faithful in our calling to God and in our life to God sometimes means speaking hard truths. It sometimes means doing difficult things. Many of you maybe know that one of my favorite TV shows is The Office. And it's kind of funny. I find it kind of funny. There are certain episodes of The Office that I don't like to watch. You know, like Scott's Tots. It's just, if you've ever seen it, you might understand it's just too awkward to watch. Some people maybe think it's the funniest one, but I usually skip that one. There are parts of God's word, and there are parts of our task as called workers that we might prefer to skip. But being faithful means doing and saying the hard thing. As teachers, it's not your responsibility necessarily to show up at people's houses or to go and tell Eli that he's going to die but the Lord says that he and his sons are going to die. And there certainly are parts of God's word which you're not going to include in your Bible history instruction, like the story of Onan. But, however, there certainly are times when there are things you'd rather not do. There certainly are going to be times when you have to tell your students things that they don't want to hear. And there may even be times when you have to tell parents things that they don't want to hear. Faithfulness requires speaking the whole word of God and doing those difficult things faithfully, not just the things we want to do. At such times, of course, we have God's promise to help us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Genesis 26, do not fear, God says, for I am with you. At such difficult times, we have God's promise to be with us and to strengthen us and to bless the effort, even when we have to speak hard truths to those who would rather not listen. Faithfulness means speaking God's word. Faithfulness, finally, requires a lot of patience and forgiveness. There is a lot of, and probably is going to be a lot of whining, a lot of complaining, a lot of stubbornness, a lot of mistakes and many other sinful behaviors. All of that, of course, takes a lot of patience and a lot of forgiveness. But I'm not talking about the kids. I'm not talking about the kids complaining and making mistakes. I'm talking about us in our lives complaining and making mistakes. There's a lot of complaining in the ministry, a lot of times when we're complaining to God. And I'm not talking about the forgiveness that we need to show, but I'm talking about the forgiveness that we need from God. And what a wonderful thing then, that through all the difficulty of the ministry, all the complaints you might have as a called worker, all the mistakes you might make as a called worker, that we know just how gracious and forgiving and understanding our God is, and all the grace and forgiveness that He pours upon us. It's true that as a called worker, as a teacher or a pastor, you need to have patience and forgiveness for the children. But the amount of patience and forgiveness that you need is not anywhere near as much as the amount of patience and forgiveness that God has shown and given to you. Psalm 145 reminds us the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Paul reminds us in our epistle reading that the gift of the ministry is a direct result of God, of Jesus coming down, giving His life as a sacrifice for our sins, and then ascending on high. The ministry is only possible because Jesus died for us and has showered us with His grace and with His forgiveness. Without that, we could never be faithful as His ministers. And so when times are tough, when you need to complain to God, and go ahead and complain to God, and even, you know, whine a little to God, that's okay, God can handle it. When you make mistakes and you need that grace and forgiveness of God, we remember examples of people like Elijah. Remember how when Elijah ran away into the wilderness, he gave up. He was a called minister. He was sent to preach God's word, and yet he gives up and runs away. Remember how graciously and mercifully God dealt with him, and how he'll deal with you as well. Or you think of the Apostle Paul, and God's grace and forgiveness to him, who used to murder Christians, and yet the Lord calls him into the ministry. Or you think of Jonah, whom the Lord sent to Nineveh, and yet Jonah refused and tried to run away, and God's grace and mercy to him. And we can trust and be assured that God is showing us the same graciousness and mercy. It's only through God's forgiveness and through Jesus' grace and death for us and through His patience and mercy and forgiveness that makes the ministry possible and that takes such sinful human beings like myself and you and makes of us called workers, working in the vineyard, as we heard in our gospel reading, faithful servants to His word. Faithfulness is only possible through God's grace. Jesus ascended on high and He gave gifts to His church. You, the called teachers of faith, are such gifts. Strive, therefore, for faithfulness in your ministry that you may be like Samuel. But don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust it in your striving. Put your trust and your faith in God's mercy and His grace, because that alone can make you faithful servants. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall grant you, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.